Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
We're all back. I'm Morgan Nicol, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, being Gracewood.
Everything's going to make me laugh, I'm sorry to say tonight, because I'm as tired as a new parent, but I've got no child to show for it. Oh, I got up before like 10. Man, it's tough. It's tough. The lifestyle of the international jet set playboy is, you know, sometimes you have obligations that require being out of the house. Fuck. I've got like a headache from my exhaustion. 8:35. Oh. I was tempted just to go to bed and have a nap instead of doing the show, but you know, obligations, as I said.
Well, it's not that we could do that.
Could do that. We could just have a nap cast. That would probably be quite nice. Everyone who's at work, maybe this is their lunch break and they really need to zone out. It might be nice just hearing us make happy sleeping sounds. Do we need nursery rhymes? I think just the sounds of our quiet, deep, slow, measured breathing.
And that might be enough. Stuttering in it, and a bit of snoring, and I occasionally speak in my sleep. Apparently,
oh god, I sleep and run and do all sorts of stuff in my sleep. I can be quite threatening in my sleep. It's not me; it's unconscious me. They're not the same. They're not the same thing at all.
No.
I'm a bit grumpy. I'm like a child. If my blood sugar goes down, I get grumpy. And if I haven't had enough sleep, I get grumpy. So everything makes me grumpy. Things like wet doorknobs make me just irrationally unhappy.
Wet doorknobs?
Do you ever get this? I'm not going to name any names here, but in the office, there's someone who goes to the toilet.
Oh, right, okay.
Goes to the toilet, washes his hands, doesn't dry them. And with soaking wet hands, doesn't even like flick them, then pulls the toilet door closed. And so when you go in there, or when I go in there, the first thing I get is a handful of wet doorknob. And wet doorknobs are bad at the best of times, but wet doorknobs, when they are toilet door doorknobs, I just do not want that. I do not want...
Suspiciously wet.
Really suspiciously wet. But unfortunately, what this has led to is me now... because I expect the doorknob to be wet all the time, I now, on my way back out, I now open the door before washing my hands, because that way, and that's disgusting, that way, I know, it's much worse than the wet doorknob thing, what I'm doing now. That way, then at least I get to wash and dry my hands after touching the doorknob, and then I can pull it shut, but just by pulling on the side of the door rather than pulling on the
don't
wet.
Do you have like paper towels or something you could use?
No,
as a buffer?
We've got those fabric pull down things.
Oh fuck!
Those really old fashioned institutional kind of boiled fabric things.
We've got an automatic paper towel dispenser that's just incredibly frustrating in that it doesn't dispense the towel when you want it, and you have to wave your hand frantically in front of it before it'll give you one.
And what happens in a power cut? I ask you.
I wouldn't go into the toilet anyway. It's spooky. Yeah. No natural light in there.
Oh dear.
I'd go out and pee in the car park.
Oh, that's no fun. Or peeing in the car park, or just piss in the sink.
Actually, just pee in. I could piss in the Henderson Creek. It's just out the back.
That's a great idea. Pissing out of doors. You know, there's a thing about the out of doors piss, and that is just going completely hands free and letting it go where it may, and just, you know, arch your back. Maybe you can stretch while you do it, and just everything, you know, really, really, really let
loose. That sounds really weirdly inviting.
I know, because I think it's one of those natural wants. I hesitate to say needs, but it's definitely a desire, I think, probably of all mammals. Male mammals, certainly.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty good, actually. That could be, I imagine that could be very relaxing and quite centering.
And actually, that leads me to another frustration that I have, and that is the piss dribble. This is the drop or more of piss that you know one of your predecessors in a given toilet has dropped over the front of the toilet onto the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The piss dribble, actually, I mean, and I guess most of the time it's easier to deal with than wet doorknobs. You just don't stand on it. But, I mean, I don't happen to be a girl, and I assume you're not a girl.
No.
What if you have to sit down and there's that piss dribble right there. Do you want that on your clothes? No. I think anyone who piss dribbles should fucking mop it up.
This, you know, I'm going to be totally honest with you. This is not where I expected this, the beginning of this podcast to go.
Did I mention I'm feeling really tired? Did I mention this?
What else have we got while we're in that, you know, in that arena?
Food blogging?
No. What else is in the toilet?
John Key.
Okay.
Is that just in my dreams?
Oh, look. You put the same story on your story reports that I did. Anyway. I obviously didn't read yours, but then I suspect you haven't either.
No, I haven't. I've read both of the links for my one, actually, but not for days, because we only do old stories now on Discourse. Old or not at all. It's got to have been proven by the test of time. Or something approximating that. So guess what?
What?
I haven't got a button.
Do you want me to actually guess?
Yes. Start guessing. Fill up some time.
We're bringing back Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Oh, that would be exciting.
Do
you want to do that?
Yep.
Maybe you have to choose it because I have terrible judgment.
All right. Well, see, now the problem is that you have to fill while I look for one.
That was always part of the problem, finding the word of the week. That was always an issue.
It's the sort of thing that could be solved with planning, perhaps.
I guess in theory that's right. Planning hasn't always worked as you might expect for Discourse, though.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to fire this thing off. Let's see.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
Woohoo! It didn't even loop. Usually those things loop.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
And it's true as well. I wonder what this one is. I think this is an older one.
Live via satellite, it's time for a Discourse guest.
I've got all these things which I've never used.
Discourse guest time.
Probably not really
via
satellite though, is it?
Discourse guest time.
I don't know. He lives way out there in the WAPs. Might be via satellite.
Fair enough.
We have, believe it or not, old Discourse favourite. Technology correspondent, let's say, and former TV guy and maybe current radio guy, Benedict Gracewood from the internet.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Ben. Are you reading me? Long time listener, first time caller.
Are we crossing live to Ben somewhere? Is he reporting live from some sort of breaking event?
Yes. No, I think Ben is at E3. Is that right?
No. I would have been at LA, in LA at Milk Studios if I was anywhere.
What happened in LA at Milk? Yeah. So what's happening there? I apologize for the delay in our satellite coverage, but we have to wait for the speed of light.
I've been standing here for the last 5 hours in the dark on a back street in LA. You guys have been slack.
That's not very sensible. Have you been shot at yet?
No. Prejudice. Come on now.
Why did you want to talk to me live?
I wanted to talk to you live because you are the only person I know who still thinks Microsoft have a chance and have pledged your career on it, actually. And they've announced this big thing today, this very exciting thing, and that is a laptop with no keyboard, except it has a keyboard, sort of like a tablet, but it doesn't run a tablet operating system. And I don't know if it's exciting or not, but you, I think, probably have all the details and can tell us if we should be excited or not and why this thing exists and what it is.
Yeah, Microsoft Surface.
No. Easy now.
This is a tabletop thing.
That's a coffee table.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Very, at the very outset, very confusing. But I think, hopefully, the majority of people who might be interested in this Microsoft Surface have no idea what the old Microsoft Surface was.
Is this like the iPad where it wasn't the iPad 3, it's the new iPad, so now there's the iPads, but one of them's old and one of them's new? Is it like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Would you feel pissed off if, say, last week you went out and you spent a lot of time thinking about it, and you went out and you invested in Microsoft Surface for your office or reception area or something, and then they've done this?
I'd be pissed off if I was Samsung for multiple reasons. One is that they've stolen the Surface name that Samsung makes. And the other is that the new Surface being a tablet is a complete departure from Microsoft's standard operating method, which is selling software to people who make hardware.
And also really nice mice.
Yeah. Well, so they make hardware, but they make peripherals. Well, I suppose they make the Xbox as well. But no, listeners know what the Surface is. It's a 10-inch 16x9 tablet.
It is 16x9. They haven't gone with the whatever the iPads are.
No, because 4x3 would be retarded.
I know, yeah. I agree. And but then you see a 16x9 tablet.
You go, wow, that's weird.
I saw the one of the, I guess it was a Windows 8. Am I allowed to mention this? I think it was a Toshiba one, a Windows 8 tablet. And it is actually pretty weird in 16x9. It is quite tall if you hold it in portrait.
Yeah, they are tall. I think I'm interested in this for a number of reasons. One is the very reason it exists is kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, it is Microsoft's first... it's the first time they built a PC, if you can call it a PC, isn't it? They haven't built a PC before, have they?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think they've ever really built
it. No. So, I mean, this is a tablet that runs Windows 8.
Well, the Zune was kind of... I mean, it was like a micro tablet, wasn't it?
No, it didn't run...
Oh, it was just a music player, wasn't it, actually?
Yeah, they don't make phones, they don't do anything. So it's a complete departure. So the very reason it exists is basically Microsoft saying that whatever the OEMs were doing just sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked, the big one. And I think we all knew that.
I was not interested.
Yeah. There was some stuff out of Computex that was vaguely interesting.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if the stuff out of Computex that was interesting only existed because they'd got wind of the fact that Microsoft were doing their own, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, is it...
So it's kind of kicking the ass of...
Was it the third-party hardware that sucked, really? Was that it?
Or is it Windows 8?
Well, is it just... I mean, that's... It's not... There's nothing... It's like... It's the way computers work.
Yeah.
And the only difference is that we've come to expect something else because Apple does it differently, so...
Yeah, so that's true. So, I mean, the reason it exists is because, I guess, Microsoft's seeing their lunch being cut by Apple. And... You know, someone else made the point, I think, that if Android tablets got a jump on Microsoft, then they were really fucked.
Yeah.
So they really had to make
that version. Well, they did. They have.
Yeah. Well, no, they haven't. There's no market share wise, absolutely not.
Really?
What is Android tablet market share?
Okay, right. So you're talking about how many customers does Microsoft have in the world versus how many customers does Android have in the world?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But I mean, obviously, in this industry, Android, I think, are eating Microsoft's lunch at the moment.
Given enough time and enough effort, a fantastic Android tablet would probably turn up eventually, right? There's been none so far.
Well, people would argue with that, but you can go out right now and buy an Android tablet. You can't go out right now and buy a Windows tablet.
But the point is, no one is buying them, so a good one doesn't.
But more people are buying them than buying current Windows tablets. I think Android has won that, or has already beaten Microsoft. Microsoft might come back and overtake them, but... You cannot buy a Windows tablet.
No, but the Android tablet acceleration hasn't really kicked in yet. And so the point I'm making is that they can't risk it kicking in.
Yeah.
Right? It's kicked in more than... All right, okay, yep.
Well, there isn't a Windows tablet, right? It doesn't exist.
So Android has, by definition, beaten them at that.
So Windows 8...
Got one. Or a number.
Interesting. Anyway,
people own.
I want to point one thing out, and this is the first tablet I was ever excited about was the Microsoft Courier, and that was first kind of rumored, I guess, in about 2008, and maybe we even got that video in 2008, and obviously it was never a real product, but that predated the iPad by two fucking full years, and it was always more exciting, and it's still more exciting, and. I wish they'd released that. And they must be shitting themselves, fucking Ballmer specifically, must be shitting himself that he had such an amazing lack of foresight and killing that amazing project. And okay, so maybe it had some problems. I understand it didn't have an email client or a way to have one, short of, you know, using webmail or something. That maybe is a problem. But that's a problem that is solved by allowing apps. Simple. Easy. But we could have had amazing Microsoft tablets for years already. They would have stitched up the market. you know, based on what the video looked like for the courier anyway, the reality may have been different because, you know, it was an idealized thing.
It would have set the expectation.
Yeah, the courier was killed when basically
15 minutes
of the Windows 8 life cycle. So I believe that, you know, they probably made a strategic decision to say, no, we're going to put Windows on tablets, so anything that looks vaguely tablety dies.
Yeah.
So I think it's worked. But anyway, Surface, the fact that it exists is bloody interesting.
Yeah.
Or does it actually exist? They haven't announced. They didn't announce a shipping date or a price or anything
yet. The fact that they've decided to build a tablet is bloody interesting, right? It's a huge change from anything they've ever done before, and the OEMs will be shitting themselves. It's really interesting. Interesting, regardless of whether it's a good or bad device, it's a hugely different...
They could be shooting themselves in the foot if the OEMs say, well, fine, fuck you, Android, then.
They could be, yep. Absolutely. So that's the thing. It's a massive change. It's very interesting for that reason alone.
Matt Dwen in the chat room says, recommended retail price or get the fuck out.
Yeah, and launched it. I mean, you know, again, it's Apple's set expectations now. We expect to see this thing announced and know we can buy it in, you know, two months from now.
That was the kind of... unhappy ending was the kind of they went out on a fizzle. They could have gone out on a bang and said, right, you know, $499 available for Christmas or whatever, pre-orders now. Or they could have said available now. But I wonder why they rushed it out now. I guess they were scared it was going to leak.
Yeah,
because that's the other thing that's interesting about it. It's the first really well kept secret, I think, for Microsoft in years.
Let me say one more thing about this. I was thinking about getting a MacBook Air, and now I would probably get one of these instead.
Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous as well, I have to admit. The device is... The way they've done the keyboard and that sort of stuff is kind of genius.
So there's two kinds of keyboard. There's one kind of membrane keyboard, which looks uncomfortably flat, and there's another keyboard with kind of more conventional travel, and both of them attach to the tablet using very satisfying feeling and sounding magnetic attachments.
Yep. And I love that they've got a mechanical connection as well, so I thought they'd be Bluetooth or something, which would be fiddly and annoying and keep disconnecting, but they're just mechanically connected, basically USB. It's a funny shaped USB that's magnetically connected. It's great.
Magnets! How the fuck do they work?
The other thing, apart from the lack of release date and cost that pissed me off, was the whole two-version thing. I mean, I know they have to do it, but I was watching the live stream and going, fuck, holy shit, this is awesome. I've wanted an ARM Windows 8 tablet for so long. This is exactly what I want.
And why do they have to do it?
And then they rolled out the Intel
as
well,
which
is kind of heavier, thicker, has fans.
Oh, you know, for fuck's sake, a tablet with fans.
Yeah. So, but then, you know, the kind of nerd in me is saying, well, if I got the Intel one, I could run Visual Studio, I could run Lightroom, I could run all the apps that I run today on my desktop. You know, it would be a laptop replacement, effectively. It'd be like a MacBook Air equivalent.
Yeah.
Whereas the because the way they've hobbled, I don't know. Or
can you not run normal apps on Windows RT?
No.
Oh, fuck. Oh, well, my interest just really...
Not only can you not run normal apps, as I understand it, you can't write apps for it at the moment, can you? There's no way to target as an operating system.
No, absolutely. No. Any Metro app will run.
Oh, right. That's right. You can't make Windows
desktop
apps for it.
I'm pretty sure it'll be jailbreaked pretty quickly so that you will be able to. But, so any Metro app will run on any Windows 8 device.
So is there a limitation that you can only install from the market? Does it then become a closed garden?
Can't install any Metro app, you can only install from the market.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
My interest is waning in this device. I guess the Intel one is the one that I'm more interested in, but I don't want a tablet with fans. One of the things about... I haven't used an iPad 3, but with my iPad 2, this is going to sound like a strange thing to be impressed by, even now, like a year later. The fact that it is ice cold all the time, no matter what. It has no fans, and it's cold. And the fact that it's cold tells me that it's efficient. It's not wasting energy and making its body warm. It's not...
Yeah, and it's also an absolutely giant heatsink as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, you know, a nice big flat, smooth heatsink.
It's
so
full of battery and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I kind of hope that the eventual end point, you know, that the whole ARM not running stuff is kind of a temporary thing.
Yeah.
Until they can get an emulator going or fast enough ARM chips to run x86 or something like that.
Are they weak, those chips?
Well, ARM chips at the moment, I don't think, are as fast as the latest Intel Ivy Bridge stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you were trying to emulate x86 on ARM, you'd be, you know, doubly hobbled.
That's tough, so maybe I do have to get a MacBook Air. But the bezel is so ugly, I don't want to. I don't That's want it. Life. Oh, now another thing I've heard is that the RT resolution is a bit lower than we may have come to expect now.
Yeah, they were being a bit cagey about that, saying it was ClearType HD, and then the Intel one is ClearType Full HD, so that to me smacks of 768 on the RT and 1080p on the Intel, but there's nothing confirmed yet.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting to see what they actually do with it. I mean, assuming that what we've seen is exactly what's going to be released, it's not exactly there, is it? But, I mean, it's also a version 1 device.
Windows 8 has all the stuff it needs to do. It has scaling, you know, technology, so they could be super high res. It has all that stuff, and I do hope we'll see kind of custom apps for ARM that will extend the behaviour of the thing.
Yeah, I don't even want super high res. I think that what do they call it? The Retina thing. I think that is, you know, it's marketing puffery at the moment, frankly. But I do want 1920x1080.
Mm. Yeah, it could be really interesting if they're not quite as closed as Apple was, because it could be quite a fascinating device if they make it a little more open to developers and users.
The Intel device is open, right? The Intel device is a PC.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
yeah, but that still doesn't mean they can't, you know, lock it down quite substantially.
It's a Windows 8 PC. Windows 8 Pro is you know, you'll install it and you'll be able to put anything that runs Windows 7 on it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But that
device will not be locked down except for the Metro side of it.
Yeah.
And that'll have a locked bootloader though, you won't be able to.
Probably
awesome. Oh, who cares?
Of course it will.
Yeah, I'm not going to put Linux on the thing.
No, it'll be interesting to see.
Put OS 10 on it.
Yeah.
Make it a Hackintosh.
It would be hilarious.
Fucking hell. All right, thank you for joining us. You've probably got to go and make apps for this new device, I guess.
Yeah, coding as we speak.
Can we have a secret signal when you finally get given one secretly and under NDA? And it'll be like, blah, 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 the mushrooms are on the moon or something.
Sorry, trying to get one for next Wednesday night, which I must send you guys an invite for, but no.
Bit late for that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, the B list has refused, so we're onto the sort of C/D list.
Oh, yeah. I see. So if they also refuse, then you'll need some people to fill seats. And if we get there early enough in the queue, maybe we'll make it in. Is that what are you even talking about next Wednesday? I don't even know what this thing is that I'm meant to be butthurt about. Apparently.
That's pretty much it. I'll send you an email. Have a good night.
All right. Cheers, Ben.
See ya.
See you, Ben.
There's a reason we fired that guy. He's too flashy. He wears very nice t-shirts, though. He's got a really lovely family.
His t-shirt supply has gone down a little bit.
lovely family. Really lovely family. Let's see what we were going to talk about. All sorts of other things, not just goddamn tablets.
I don't know, but I didn't see the other keyboard. I only saw the membrane one, and it freaks me out a little bit. I'm like, that looks
it's
like
too
a
flat
idea, but I don't think I want to type on it.
It's so flat. I don't want to feel like I'm typing directly on.
Have you ever used one of those roll-up keyboards?
Yes, they're no
they're
good.
They're awful.
They're no good. And that membrane keyboard doesn't even have that much travel.
No. But I'm sure it's an interesting solution to I'd probably rather type on that than an on-screen keyboard, which I kind of hate.
Actually, another thing, along the piss dribble lines... There is a toilet brush next to every toilet in New Zealand for a reason. If you do a poo smear, you've got a brush there to clean it off. And if you don't clean it off, you're an animal.
The worst thing is when there isn't one and you're like, I just want to fix this.
Yeah.
And you can't because no one's taken it.
Look, if there's no brush, just walk away whistling. It's not your fault. But if there is a brush, you are obligated to clean up after yourself. And if you don't, you're disgusting.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
If you don't, you're disgusting. So did you suggest that watch the listenership plummet now that Ben's gone?
Yeah, we're losing them.
We actually, that's funny, like 4, 5, 6 left. I laugh because it hurts.
Ben's not that interesting.
Did you suggest that you were going to do a word of the week?
Yeah, actually I did. I came up with one.
Oh, my God.
Do you have the
Urban
thing?
Dictionary word of the week?
All right.
All right, Ben. Oh, we should have done it while, Ben was still here.
Let's get someone. Let me see if I've got anyone on the on the Skype. See if there's anyone around. All right, I tell you what. I'm going to.
It's like
here we go. Let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens.
Oh God, what's he doing?
It's someone from Microsoft. I assume he's still from Microsoft. I have no reason to think he's not. I have not discussed this with him in advance, and I don't even know if he's actually.
How many people do you think when you call them on Skype are even A, there, and B, have the necessary headphone and microphone thing to actually make a make a call?
very few. So it's probably a bit of a risky proposition. I'm already regretting it.
No, it's just not happening, is it?
No. All right, I'm going to cancel that one. I'm going to give this one a go and see what happens.
It's mystery callers.
Yep. We're calling Adelaide now. We're just going to go through all my Skype contacts.
Just work down the list. So there is a word I've got it lined up. It's I think it's got a little edge, but it's it's not going to be a repeat of the one that got us cancelled.
Right. So wolf pack.
No
wolf bag. It was wolf bag.
No, it wasn't. It was something else. It was wolf.
God, it was horrific.
Oh, no, let's not go there again.
Yeah, let's not even talk about it.
So that's not happening. That one's not working either.
All right, that one's not happening. All right, look where we're going now. Look where we're going. Someone's about to get a surprise.
Oh yeah, no, that's. But the question is,
keep it clean. Keep it clean. This is not the overflow.
It's like what I'm talking about. Not having the microphones and the headphones and all those things readily available.
Yeah. This is very exciting. Okay, come on, caller. Answer your phone. Pick it up. Oh, I should probably put some kind of... I should probably re-enable Skype sounds if I'm going to do this. People just think that we're talking about nothing. Well, we kind of are.
It's going to be riveting listening later on.
Fuck it. But we can't do it with just me. One guesser.
Why didn't we think of this while we were still talking to Ben?
Basically, I just wanted him off the show as quickly as possible.
Yeah, fair enough.
Clutters the place up.
Well, I always feel a little bit self-conscious when I know that many people listening as well.
Phone ring. All right. Let's pretend that this is something we've only just done. Come on now. Answer your goddamn Skype. Why aren't you answering your goddamn Skype?
It's not going to happen.
All right, here we go. We've got another... there we go.
Oh, this is promising.
This one's promising. This is probably the worst.
No, you're ringing two of them at once now.
Oh, whoopsie. Right, well, I'm going to cancel that one. Sorry, Kawana in the chat room, you missed your chance. Also, Nigel Parker from Microsoft, you missed your chance.
So anyone in the chat room actually got a microphone and things and want to have a wee game of guess the Urban Dictionary word of the week? Because we can call you. We can do it. We can make it happen.
We do have the technology to call you. It's just whether you have the technology to answer. Probably should have arranged a person to play this game in advance.
This is live podcasting. I mean, it's not live for most people. For most people, it's pre-recorded podcasting. And you'd think, goodness, they've had probably a week to organise this. Why couldn't they have thought of this in advance?
So we've just had an explanation from Kawan in the chat room. Why did you call me just as I started pooping?
Oh, I did an $8.50 poop today, a poop celery.
Wow, it does. I don't know how long that requires it to have been, and let's not talk about exactly how much everyone earns, shall we?
No.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if someone can get their shit together, and we'll try this in a little while. We'll talk about a couple of news.
Wait, we've got a promising. I think we've got a listener who's just come online. Maybe he's done it, so I can call him.
All right.
Let's try this. Hang on. No, not that. It's complicated.
Fuck, it's so complicated.
How does this? Oh my god!
How does this internet thing work? What are rainbows made of? Why is the sky blue?
Maybe I can't.
Is the grass always greener on the other side?
Oh, here we go. Add people to this call, and then I go and find.
Just drag them in.
Type this. There we go. Click that.
Just drag them in. Drag them in and drop them on.
I saw him come online. I'm pretty sure he's listening. I don't even know if it's ringing.
Well, podcast listeners, I apologize. Well, I can make it ring. But it's all fakery. There we go. When I click it, it just immediately hangs up.
Yeah, no, it's going to be he's on Do Not Disturb or something. Oh, fuck it all. It's just you.
All right, fuck that then. Quake victim loses $20,000 to fraudster. Or I could probably...
Five.
Yeah, I don't know how many stories I've got. Quake victim loses $20,000 to fraudster. A Christchurch man has lost $20,000 in a scam that offered him a flicker of hope.
I see that.
Is this thing on?
Hey, there he is. We've got a guest.
Oh, I don't still have that button ready and...
That's okay. It doesn't need to be. He's just here to play the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Have you got that button ready?
What's the prize?
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Okay. The guest, Morgan, you're playing against Matt Dwin from the visitor from the Hawke's Bay.
I tell you know what it's going to say after I guess?
We've got a winner.
And you know what it's going to say if I don't guess?
You're all wrong.
Okay. Are you ready for your word?
Standing by.
It's a little bit niche. Not a lot of up and down votes, but more ups than downs. The word is pussy slip.
Pussy slip.
That's correct.
Sounds like somewhere where you'd store your cat.
That's a good guess.
Pussy slip. I say that pussy slip is what happens if you startle a cat when it is on lino or say a polished wood floor, or if it's perhaps on the smooth shiny top of a table or a kitchen bench,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it tries to run, but its feet.
Oh my god, that's funny! There's
its
so many
feet
good videos
slide out from under it, and maybe it then fails a jump, or if it's trying to go around a corner on a lino floor, it slides out. And of course, cats, they're very cocky about how physically adept they are usually. So when they fail at something, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. That is pussy slip.
That is an excellent definition. I think possibly better than the real one, because that's a lot funnier to watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
A pussy slip is when a vagina, it says here, but I think they actually mean labia.
Wait. Now, Dylan.
Yeah.
I agreed that the...
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
Could come back on the condition that it was clean.
No, really clean? I just thought it wasn't going to be as... horribly disgusting as the last one.
Okay, go on then.
It's when a vagina is accidentally exposed in public. This usually happens when wearing a skirt or dress without underwear, sometimes when exiting a vehicle or in a strong gust of wind. Celebrities such as Paris, Brittany and Lindsay have been photographed giving the pussy slip for media attention.
All right. Well, fair call.
That works.
It's a nipple
slip.
You're all
wrong.
But lower down.
All right, well, I guess... Maybe we can, based on our listener feedback, as if we ever get any, you consuming fucking cow-faced... Excuse me. I haven't had much sleep. I may have already mentioned that. If you don't like having the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week back, say, listen, guys, I don't like the dirty jokes. Cut that out. Because I've been prepared to lose that even though I fucking love the Word of the Week... As an idea and as a game, I think it's been really good. It's been really enjoyable playing that game with my friends for a few years. But I stopped playing that because I know some people were upset by it.
Look, I think the line we need to try and reach is one that doesn't sicken you when you mentally visualise it.
Right.
This one tends to just be kind of curious and slightly amusing sometimes.
Yeah.
We shoot for that.
All right.
We actually have a listener on the line who can provide feedback immediately now, and he will speak for all of the listeners of the show. Matt, should it stay?
Yes, although maybe if you waited till 9:30, you might be able to get away with a little bit more.
You might be able to listen to this in their car, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know
why
they're in
their
car at
10 o'clock
in the morning.
Hopefully they're not eating their breakfast.
Or they are. That's fine, but I think this is suitable and excellent. Thank you for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Bye.
That was a proving sheep. In case anyone's not sure. Okay, they look very similar to one another. Approving and disapproving sheep.
Have you got a proving bell?
Absolutely.
There we go.
There, that's a bit clearer.
Urban Dictionary Quake victim can live on.
For now. All right, but you've got to be the guy. I'm not going to go and find it.
All right.
I am past my days of being the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week game master.
I'm up for this. I'll do it.
All right. Okay.
Let's move on. Have you got stories or something?
Yeah, I've got stories. I've got stories coming in my ears. I think I said
coming in your ears.
Yeah. I'm being dictated to right now. I can't actually read. I'm so tired. My eyes have completely gummed shut. I'm like a newborn puppy.
That sounds like something Bob McCrosby Bob McCroskey expects
to
see on TV.
We don't ever mention that name on this show.
I just can't help myself.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Christchurch man lost $20,000 in a scam that was incredibly fucking obvious. And seriously, dude, he took the a paper that they emailed him. He took it to his bank and they laughed him out of the bank. And he reckons that that wasn't giving him a clear answer. And so he then proceeded to give these motherfuckers, these scammers, and I think it was Ghana, in Ghana, he proceeded to give them money after being laughed out of a bank. And he reckons being laughed out didn't send him a sufficiently strong message. Dude, listen, the only people who get caught by these scams are greedy motherfuckers.
I'm going to be I'm going to be slightly charitable toward him.
But they're all so obvious. There's so few scams. They all have the same shape. You've got to pay, a fee, a transaction fee in advance, or you've got to pay the taxes. This is the same way that all of these Nigerian and similar scams work. It's always the same.
No, absolutely. I'm not denying that. But I think his description of being laughed out of the bank and saying they refused to check the validity of his documents, I think banks should, if some credulous fool comes in and says, look at this thing, can you tell me if you think it's legitimate? I think the banks have a duty to their customers to say, look, you're being scammed, stop it now, this is ridiculous.
But they could never say this is legit. I don't think they could ever do that unless it was something that they'd created themselves. Otherwise, they could be opening themselves up for liability if they got taken by some really legit seeming document.
Well, perhaps they should be able to say, this is outright a scam, and this we're unsure about. You need to do more research.
Yeah, don't give them any money until you're sure.
This doesn't immediately fall into the template of this scam, but don't go sending money to people you meet on the internet unless you're absolutely sure what you're doing.
You don't win lotteries when you didn't enter the lottery.
I have.
What is so hard? No, you haven't.
No, I have many times.
No, you've never won a lottery without entering it. Lotteries work by dispersing a small portion of the fees that were paid to buy tickets.
Oh my God, you just reminded me. Thank you, Morgan. I have to pay my collection fees for my £20 million that I won.
Well, congratulations.
You just talk for a little while I log into my bank website and transfer the money to the International Lotteries Bank in Ghana.
Let me tell you about another idiot.
Okay.
Another New Zealand idiot. And this one is embarrassing internationally, not just locally. This woman travelled to Bali in Indonesia. Lovely place. Beautiful island. Lovely people. And things there are quite inexpensive. So she shoplifted a supermarket and stole some chocolate.
Wait, quite inexpensive?
It is inexpensive in Bali. It's really inexpensive. Like, you get...
So because
cocktails are cheap, like $2 and dinner's like a few dollars. And it is lovely there. And she steals chocolate. Now, she reckons that she absent-mindedly put it in her bag and then walked out. But then that's what everyone says.
I must admit, I've almost taken things from a supermarket accidentally. But then again, it's very rare that you put anything in your bag when you're in a supermarket.
Never. Never. So they've got baskets.
Maybe they don't. Maybe Bali hasn't discovered baskets yet.
Honestly, I don't actually remember. Yeah, I actually don't remember. I don't remember if they had baskets or if they only had trolleys or what. But everything there is, pretty inexpensive. So the fact that she even was able to come up with $17 worth of chocolate, it's a good effort. It must have been quite a bit of chocolate. That's not one bar. Or that's some upmarket imported stuff. I don't know. Tell you what they were bad at, though, is dairy. I was having lunch on some fucking lake somewhere. I don't know. Some scammer tried to get me to pay him to take photos with a snake. And I said, no, even though I wanted
to. That sounds worrying.
Even though I wanted to. I was like, that is a very impressive snake, sir.
Bro, come and take photos of my snake.
I would. I am tempted. I was really, actually really tempted. It was a very impressive snake. But it had sellotape around its mouth. And I was like, you know what? That's not dignified. That snake is probably real angry right now. But I had lunch at this place on this lake. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we could have some dessert. And I got like a fucking fried banana thing. And I was like, and it just came out. And it's like a fried battered banana on a plate. And nothing. And I said, do you have any cream? And the waiter looked at me kind of querulously and then walked off out to the kitchen and comes back with a can of condensed milk.
Yeah, close enough.
Well, not close enough for me, because it's not cream, is it? It's just you're pouring basically liquid sugar on. It does. It doesn't do the same.
Did you see a lot of cows on in Bali? Did you?
No, not a lot. Just mainly skinny dogs, and people wanting to
breed. You can't milk skinny dogs, Greg.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Anyway, this woman. Maybe she did do it innocently, but seriously. They all say that, don't they? Oh, it was an accident. I didn't mean to stuff all these fucking fireworks down my pants. It was an accident. I always carry stuff around, stuff down my pants. She didn't stuff it down her pants, as far as we know.
No.
Maybe they just didn't catch her on some of that stuff.
Bit weird. All right, what's next?
I'm going to tell you about some other idiots from New Zealand.
I don't have any idiots from New Zealand.
Frank and Wilma. Frank and Wilma. Frank was told he had part of his lung removed because he had cancer and he had chemotherapy. And then he was getting chest pains. And so he went to the doctor and they did an ultrasound and they took a biopsy from his pericardium. And they were like, you know what? You are fucked. You have cancer in your heart and you're going to be dead in about 2 months. And they were like, look. I've got this little business. I've got some tools. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sell everything and we're going to go and they made up a bucket list because apparently those are popular now. They made up this quick bucket list, which was actually quite modest. You know, a little bit of travel.
Jack Nicholson has a lot to answer for. It was in the movie Bucket List. Carry on.
Right, okay. I didn't see it. And so they went off and they did it and they blew all this money. He gave away like all his tools and he gave away all his fishing rods and a quad bike and his clothes and stuff from around his house. Never mind that he and his wife, he was the one with cancer. She didn't have cancer. So what he was doing, giving away stuff from around the house, I cannot even fathom.
Well, she didn't need his tools or his quad bike or his clothes.
That's true, but household items...
They sold their house.
Yeah,
that's okay. She was going to live in a small apartment or something after he died.
Right. Well, they sold their house at a loss of
family, maybe.
And they also cancelled the health insurance. They sold the house at a loss of $70,000. He retook up smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee because why suffer any longer? He's got the cancer. Why not fucking go for it? They've got like $80,000 in credit card debt or something now. They've got no money. His business is gone. The house is gone. Then the doctors say, oh, we made a mistake. You're not going to die. Well, I mean, you're going to die, but not right now.
But the doctors didn't say that. The person who said that was the hospice carer who came to visit him and said, oh, this is my last visit because it turns out you haven't got terminal cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
The doctors told the hospice, but not him. Yeah. What I don't understand, yeah, exactly. What was the end game? Because they were going to spend all this money, and then he was going to die, and then what? All I can assume is that they were then expecting a life insurance payout.
Yeah.
Although most life insurance policies will pay on a terminal diagnosis.
Yeah.
Although then the question is, if it turns out your terminal diagnosis wasn't terminal, do you owe the money back to the life insurance company?
I would say you would owe it back. And I'd say that'd be pretty vicious about collecting. And I will say this. When I had my brush with cancer, which was not having it at all, but being paranoid and going to my doctor and him saying, no, you don't have it. You're fine. And then going away. And then like a couple of months later, going back and going, look, I really think I have got it. I really think I have. And he said, you haven't, but I'll tell you what, you can go and get an ultrasound. And I went to the ultrasound and the technician was like, blah, de, blah, blah. Rub the thing on your tits. And I was like, I like the way you do that, lady. And then I heard nothing. And they don't tell you about negative results. They, by which I mean results which don't find anything to worry about.
Not one.
They don't bother fucking telling you when everything is fine. And that seems like a terrible failure.
That does, because you just sit there forever going, oh my God, why haven't they told me? Is it terrible? I can't even figure out what's wrong with it.
Why are they bloody blah? They could just send me. I mean, seriously, send me a fucking text. That would be fine. Send me an email. Send me a letter. Okay. If you're, you know, old-fashioned, you can send me a letter. You can even send me a fax if you arranged in advance, I guess. Don't know why you'd want to do that. That'd probably be actually the least reliable way to get anything to me, a fax. Fucking whatever it is, give me a fucking phone call. Tell me, hey, look, the results are back. Remember how we told you twice already that you've got no problem? Well, this is the third time. Don't come back!
Stop making me feel your moobs.
I still worry about it.
Are you done with the dumb people?
I feel bad about calling these guys dumb. Because
no, I don't think...
she was obviously... She was expecting to lose her husband. He was expecting to die. But they fucking did it so badly. They did it so badly. I'm not very sympathetic.
But still, the only part of the story that's extraordinary is the fact that he didn't die.
Yeah.
If he died, you'd be like, "Yep, oh, that makes sense. That's what I'd do in that circumstance." Yep.
Good for them.
Assuming they must have had some plan for money to come in after the fact. It wasn't just that he was going to die.
Do you think they actually had any plan? Because it doesn't sound like they do much in the way of plan making.
I guess money doesn't seem very important in that circumstance. Maybe you just go, fuck it, I'm just going to do what I want to do.
It's funny that you say fuck it, because coincidentally with seeing this bucket list story, I saw this. Have you seen the Twitter account Sudain?
No.
Suddain. He's hilarious. I don't actually follow him, but some fucking New Zealand journalist, what's his name, Yuha, he keeps retweeting him, and he's hilarious. I'm on the verge. This is from the 7th of June. I'm on the verge of no longer caring about ear grooming. So that's one more thing ticked off my fuck it list. I think we should all have a fuck it list, and I think we should actually track it.
I'm on the verge of caring about ear grooming now that he mentions that. I'm like, oh,
should I care?
Should I give a shit?
Should I care? I no longer care about making noise when I sit down.
All right, well. I'm going to drop some stuff.
Are you going to drop some knowledge? Are you going to drop some science?
Drop some news bombs.
Yeah.
Not really news, actually. What do we got? There was the John Key has a lot of followers on Twitter, or does he?
He actually does. He's got more followers than any other New Zealand member of parliament. And I mean, but I suppose
Prime Minister.
But he doesn't run his own Twitter account. And then you've got people like Gareth Hughes, who very clearly are engaged with their Twitter followers. He's got some PR lackeys that do it. He's very relaxed about it, I'm sure. He's possibly never even seen Twitter, for all we know.
Right.
So why would he have so many? I don't know. But, you know, the polls indicate that no one cares.
So anyway.
Yeah.
It's not really an allegation. It's just kind of a this is interesting, isn't it? Mm. Claire Curran posted on the Red Alert blog, which is a Labour blog, further to a previous post, which I didn't read and I can't be bothered reading, which analysed John Key's Twitter followers and found the astounding 57% of them were not real, in quotes, followers. Boolean, who published the first thing, undertook further analysis. This time he analysed John Key, myself, Russell Norman, Mathieu Turier, David Shearer and Gareth Hughes. The results are here. Shows pretty clearly that we all have followers who are questionable, but the percentages for all except Key are pretty standard. More than half of John Key's followers don't stack up. Now, the gist is John Key has about 50,000 followers. 57% of them are, by the terms of this study anyway, not real. They don't have avatar pictures. They've got no tweets or no followers, things like that, or haven't updated recently. I don't know. It seems just like silly nitpicking to me.
Yes, silly nitpicking, but then the report lays out the same percentages on all these metrics for these other New Zealand MPs and politicians, and they are not anywhere close to Key. And all of these,
what it doesn't show is how many overall in that little list that I could find it out for myself. But what it doesn't show is how many overall followers they actually have.
Yeah,
because I suspect that John Key has a moderately shitload more than any of them.
Yeah.
And I also think that, at least in my experience, the spam accounts on Twitter are kind of snowball.
Don't they get evaporated? I thought Twitter always just evaporated.
They come and go. A lot of them, like I still, you know, if I look through my followers list, it's not very hard at all to find fake Twitter accounts that are following me. I couldn't give a shit. I don't actually. When people follow me, I very rarely see the notifications, let alone, you know, spend any effort in investigating who they are.
No. No, me neither.
So I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. I think it's unlikely that they thought it was a good idea at some point to go out and buy followers, which is kind of what the accusation is, without being an accusation that's been clearly levelled.
I don't pay too much attention.
The insinuation is, that's what it is.
I couldn't actually bring myself to pay too much attention to my Twitter followers because I have very few, and if I lose even three more, then I drop out of my 800 figure. Barely fucking cracked 800, tell you what. I was in that 750 zone, 790 zone for a very long time. I noticed I'm not very popular, tell you what. You and your 3,000 or whatever you've got, Dylan.
I don't know what it is, actually. Question.
Don't take it for granted, Dylan. Don't take it for granted. Everything can change. All that needs to happen is you swear constantly all day, every day for about 3 or 4 years, and your followers will drop off like you wouldn't believe.
412. Post a link to nothing that has ever worked safe, all those sorts of things.
Yeah. I hurt myself quite badly with that, actually, but I haven't done it in a long time. People will not forgive. You know, when you tub girl, you know, people will not forgive you.
All right.
Tell me another good news story.
Here's the headline from the news story. Revealed, these 10 extraordinary rules make Apple stores the most profitable retailers in the world. You're thinking, what are these 10 extraordinary rules that make Apple stores the most profitable in the world?
That sounds amazing.
I'll go through them really quickly. Here they are. They are. All laptop screens must be tilted at the same angle before the store opens, basically, right, so that people feel inclined to go up to them, tilt them to their own height, and start playing with the computers.
Right.
Customers can play with devices for an unlimited amount of time.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Computers and iPads must be loaded with all the latest and most popular apps. Apparently, some computer stores have computers that are switched off and don't really have anything on them. Yeah. Managers must ask 3 questions about each potential employee, including could they have gone toe-to-toe with Steve Jobs, or whatever the fuck that means, do they display grit, and can they deliver Ritz-Carlton-level customer service, which I think would help if you'd been to the Ritz-Carlton.
I could punch the shit out of Steve Jobs.
Good.
So if that's what they mean by go toe-to-toe.
I think it means stand up for things and stand up to it. Anyway, geniuses must say, as it turns out, not unfortunately, when they tell a customer they can't fix a tech problem. They're also only allowed to talk about benefits of a product, not its features.
Right. What?
Apparently, Apple exercises strict control over the language of their employees. One-on-one workshop trainers cannot touch a customer's device without permission. The point is to get the customer to reach the solution on their own.
Right.
Genius has leeway to replace a customer's device up to 45 days after the warranty has expired.
That's quite important as well, I reckon.
Employees do not earn commissions and have no sales quota, which is good.
That's good. Pay your staff. Pay your staff
and make them help your customers. Yeah. If a customer mispronounces the name of a product, salespeople are forbidden from correcting them, which if there were Apple stores in New Zealand, I would feel compelled to go and exploit that.
Yeah.
And employees must greet customers within the first...
You could go crazy with it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
What's it called? The Iphany?
Pad?
Iphany? Iphany. Iphany. like Epiphany.
Yeah, Iphany. employees must greet customers within the first few seconds after the end of the store, which is as far as
I don't like that so much. Let people be.
I don't think any of these have anything to do with making Apple stores the most profitable retail store.
Nothing at all. They have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all.
They're all just good retail practices.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing.
Yeah. This person has never been an employee of Apple.
And also, really, many of them are none of them are really that extraordinary to me. I didn't read any of them and go, holy shit. Except maybe for the going toe to toe with Steve Jobs thing. I'm not sure what the fuck that's about.
Yeah.
That was weird.
If it means have a fight, if it means argue with, I don't know. I don't think many people would actually be very good at arguing with them.
Hey, Morgan.
Yes, Dylan.
Do you know about Bear Love?
I know all about Bear Love. Bear Love good, cancer bad.
That's right. I think we talked about this. Did we talk about it last week?
We spoke about it last week. Now, the gist of this is that Funny Junk got a lawyer and decided to sue the Oatmeal because the Oatmeal had a blog post complaining that Funny Junk was illegally rehosting the Oatmeal's comments.
Now, it was a blog post from a year ago.
Yeah.
So it kind of fizzled. It had been and gone. Anyway, the gist is the lawyer approached and said, you need to take this blog post down and remove all references to Funny Junk on your website because you're now defaming my client, blah, blah, blah.
And pay me $20,000.
Yeah, give me $20,000.
Yeah.
The Oatmeal said, no, get fucked. What I'm going to do is raise money for charity, take a photo of the money, and send you the photo and this nice picture of your mum having sex with a bear.
Yeah.
Hilarious. He raised, I think when we last spoke, it was like 100 and...
It was about 120 last week, and I think this week...
Yeah, now it's like $190,000. Right. So he's well over his target.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Those charities must be delighted.
Yeah.
It's all upside for them.
Yeah, except now they're being sued.
Why are they being sued?
Well, that's a good question. So the lawyer, no longer is Funny Junk involved in the lawsuit, at least not obviously. So it would be interesting to see if Funny Junk has said, whoa, fuck, this guy's crazy. We've got nothing to do with him anymore. but basically the lawyer, Charles Carrion, has sued Matthew Inman.
Yeah.
Indiegogo, which is the website he's using to do the crowdfunding.
What?
The American Cancer Society.
He's suing the American Cancer Society.
Yep.
For what on earth?
Yeah. What's the other one? The National Wildlife Fund.
What on earth are his grounds for suing charities?
100 unnamed donators. Unnamed does who are presumably people who have harassed him on the internet.
Are they people who have harassed him, or are these just people who've donated to the thing on Indiegogo?
Who knows? They're suing. I haven't read the whole complaint. I can't be bothered. They're suing. He is suing the Oatmeal, Matthew Inman, because of what he claims were libelous statements and inciting people towards cyberbullying, basically.
Yeah.
The charities are involved because he believes. Indiegogo is involved because he believes that Matthew Inman and Indiegogo are acting as commercial fundraisers without doing the appropriate things they need to do, which is very questionable because they're not. Well, Indiegogo is fundraising for profit, I suppose, but Matthew Inman isn't.
Yeah.
Or at least he's said that all the money he's raising is going to the charities that he said it's going to.
Yeah.
And he's suing the charities because they haven't. Immediately disavowed any relationship with him.
What?
And therefore imply some sort of offer some sort of tacit approval to his campaign.
Matthew Inman posted something very funny on Twitter. It's interesting to watch a man with his dick in a hornet's nest try to solve the problem by tossing his balls in as well.
A very accurate thing. There was also from one of the stories about this, there was a fantastic comment. Someone's coined a new verb.
Yeah.
The verb is carry on.
Right.
To lash out blindly yet only succeed to cause harm to oneself. The usage is, he became so enraged he lost control and began to carry on wildly until he was covered with self-inflicted bruises and passers-by began to back away slowly. it is astonishing that someone could be this completely ridiculously stupid. And lawyers have weighed in and said, this is insane.
Yeah.
He has no grounds. There are obvious misstatements of fact in his complaint, and that also he's treading a very fine line in terms of slap, which is basically
strategic lawsuit against
public consultation.
Right, that's it.
There's laws in California and other U.S. states about filing lawsuits with the intention of chilling. Public speech or censoring public speech, which is exactly what this lawsuit is and what the first lawsuit was.
It's kind of the definitive example.
Yeah, kind of. So if he's found to be doing that, essentially he could have to pay a lot of lawyers' fees and things like that.
He has to pay everyone else's lawyers' fees if he gets that, right?
So hopefully the American Cancer Society get involved and put some very expensive lawyers on it or something, I don't know.
This guy should just back off. We had a story not as crazy as this. This is this.
Wait. There's one more point. One of the big points in the initial complaint that Carrion and Funny Junk made to the Oatmeal was that at the time that the complaint was made, if you Googled Funny Junk, as well as getting the website which came up as the top result, you also got quite high up in the rankings. I think like third or fourth was Matthew Inman's blog post about Funny Junk stealing his stuff.
Yeah.
Now, if you Google Funny Junk...
Oh, my God.
Funny Junk's still at the top, but it's followed by just an insane number of articles about how out of control this is and how Charles Carrion's completely insane. And it's just, it's littered with this stuff that can only be bad for Funny Junk and is never going to go away. It's on news sites. He's not going to send cease and desist orders to the APN or, you know, or Wired.
Oh, my God. I don't think he realizes how out of his depth he is.
Streisand effect. It should now be called the Carrion effect.
Oh, but Streisand effect is so... It's true, though. This is the Streisand effect. Well, actually, this isn't the Streisand effect. The Streisand effect is a little bit different, isn't it? That's just about trying to shut people up from talking about you, but he sort of started it.
Yeah.
It is the Streisand effect. 1 minute. One minute warning. That means we can't even, you know. So we've got a similar story, which was this: the Scottish Town Council, which shut down a 9-year-old girl's blog about her school lunches. They backed down. They said, "Okay, really? She can take photos. She can do it. Fine." It took like one day for them to back down because there was an outcry, and they listened. This guy, he needs to do the same thing.
They met the internet.
They met the internet.
And they
council meet internet.
He does not.
That's right. He has no idea. I'm worried when people get, you know, overly offensive, overly aggressive about some of these things. You could just say, mate, listen, you're making a mistake here. You don't need to say, well, I'm going to burn your fucking house. Bro. Fine. You know, anyway. So we could have four. Done, what's your auntie been talking
three.
About?
What's your auntie been talking about? Don't forget to rewind.
But we've run out of time, so I guess we'll do it next week.
One.
Thank See you ya. So much for listening. Goodbye.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
Tune in right now for the extra large extended edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to the weekly show.